I got a Micah Parsons question to ask here in moments because Owen asked me and I went, you know what? That's a damn good question. I want to ask that before we bring on the dangerous one who's going to be answered for his strong opinions about Dylan Gabriel over the weekend. Oh, my goodness. It wasn't like he was trying to be mean. It was just very strong. That coming up at 8:22 this morning. So there is a quarterback competition, Lincoln Kindholz, as well as Julian Sayin with Ohio State. Now, hold on. It's not Shador, Dylan, Joe, Kenny, God knows who. I think this highlights, though, the situation Ryan Day is in. Because Mitch had asked us before the show, he goes, should he just have to pick? Should he just pick one and go with who his guy is? I'm not sure who Ryan Day is going to pick. I think it's worth bringing up because I think you think it's going to be Julian Sayin? Which one do you think? Yeah. Have you paid that close of attention?
Yeah.
Because I think it's going to be him.
I didn't even think there was much of a real, real competition. I thought it was always going to be Julian
Sayin. But it shows how difficult his spot is. Like, I was tweeting back and forth with somebody who's a huge Ohio State account. And as much as you guys think I don't like Ohio State, I like Ohio State just fine. I went to Akron. Akron needs all the supporters they can get. And I see what they're doing, and I go, this is what Ryan Day has to do. He cannot, I don't know if he can ever allow everybody, unless he finds himself in an Arch Manning situation someday, maybe he will. I don't know if he could ever just come out and flat out say who the starter is. In this current climate of college football, I don't think he can. Because, good God, what if Julian Sayin gets hurt? Like, you don't want to lose a guy. Now, because Lincoln Kindholz has what? He has 4 weeks to make his mind up at the beginning of the season, and then he could very well just leave if he wants to, and he can keep that extra year. So if you're going to redshirt after that, like, you kind of want to be able to keep those guys and dangle that carrot. As sick as that sounds, it sounds sick, but as sick as it is, it's what you have to do. You have to dangle that opportunity out there for somebody so they stick around, because who's to know? Julian Sayin could go out there and he could suck up the room and be terrible, or he could go out there and he could be just fine and get hurt. You still might need this guy to come in and help out your season. So Ryan Day is, in a lot of head coaches in major college football, unless it's absolutely 100% known who their starter is, they're not going to have that opportunity.
Yeah, you just
to be
know
able to just come out and say it.
How quickly other coaches and boosters from around the other big programs, and not even the big programs, like there could be a school like Syracuse who could just plant the seed and be like, dude, come here and star immediately. You know, this already worked with Kyle McCord.
Like, yeah, it did.
Like, come on over. They could start that whole process and be like, they're not thinking about you. And in fact, not only are you not going to get the opportunity this year, what do you think is going to happen the following year? So you're exactly right. And now in this wild, wild west, yeah, they can talk all they want about how the NCAA can put guardrails in and executive orders from the president about NIL. The reality is, like, between the collectives and now as part of the House settlement and more clarification, like, oh, they could be back now. Now those could be back again, the collectives. Mm-hmm. And it's just, no matter what they do, they could do a salary cap or whatever. If a booster wants to pay you, they're going to be able to find a way to pay you. And they're going to be able to also find a way to lure you away from another program.
I don't know if it's going to be a big problem for them. I mean, that Texas game, like, if Julian Sayin goes out there, I mean, they're what, 2.5-point favorites? If he goes out there and he plays well, I think that obviously they set sail for the rest of the year. Nobody else is going to really care about Lincoln Kindholz or anything there. If they go and they struggle, they lose at home to Texas, Arch Manning looks good, I think there's a conversation. Because after that, you don't have OU's a quality football program. Don't get nuts on this, but it's Ohio State, for crying out loud. You have Grambling on that schedule, which isn't anything for them. Washington, is Washington on their way back, or what are we doing with Washington here? I hate to play the schedule game. Like, past Texas, your first real challenge for your quarterback. Can I say Illinois because Brett Bielema can scheme it up and kind of drag you down into the gutter? Can I say that?
Yeah, it's just funny because you are sitting here going, we have so much more talent than all these teams we are going up against.
If I'm asking, then that's not true. So it's basically November 1st against Penn State. That's it. You go from week one, August 30th against Texas, and then you're going 2 months to November 1st, and that's your next big, like, okay, let's see how we can sink or swim here with these guys. So I just think it's exactly what you said. I think it highlights the difficulty of the position to be the head coach of a major college football program. Now, they're paid for it, so that you can't sit there and cry every river of tears for them. But it is difficult where you could be, and for a guy like Lincoln Kindholz, you could be looking at it if you're Ryan Day with him and going, hey, this is still the best opportunity for you. Where else are you going to get this type of coaching? Where else are you going to get this type of competition? Where else are you going to get this? You want to be the best, you be with the best. Yeah, but if somebody else is offering me an opportunity to start in 2026, that's a guaranteed start in 2026. I can go make the most of this. Kyle McCord made the best of what his situation was. They were able to win some football games and do things at Syracuse that aren't really expected at Syracuse.
And I think we also have found out, if you didn't already realize this, like, these players don't have any loyalty. It doesn't matter.
They shouldn't.
All of them played at like four different high schools now.
Yeah.
So they all bounced around then. So it's not like, yeah, they might have a dream of playing at a place like Ohio State, although Kleinholz doesn't. I mean, he was South Dakota or whatever. But yeah, they'll get there and they can immediately fall out of love with a place too. You know, it's just not what we grew up with.
I was naive on like the Dylan Raiola thing. I was really naive of it, because once he ended up at Nebraska, I go, family ties. He's going to be there the next 3 years. It's going to be fine. I think the Patrick Mahomes thing is a little out there, but whatever. It's like, kind of forge your own path there, buddy. But either way, fine. Your hero's Patrick Mahomes. Let it ride. But I thought Nebraska forever, and then I'm hearing all these things that, yeah, there's definitely irons in the fire from these other schools going, hey, we can offer you more than Nebraska. We can offer you more than family history at Nebraska and all that other stuff. I go, well, yeah, that kind of shows the business of what college football is, even to the young guys. Micah Parsons was a conversation. Lyman brought this up before the show, and he brought it up even in the last segment. Somebody texted him and did a who says no scenario between Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. And a possible trade. It's not about whether or not you'd make the trade or anything like that. I'm not talking about trading Myles Garrett for Micah Parsons, for the love of God. But it was, the question was lobbied to me over the weekend of going, hey, you got an extra first-round pick there next year. You got this. Would you be willing to move on from these things for Micah Parsons? And I didn't want to get into it with the guy on the internet because I wanted to save it for the show. I agree. Owen, you posed this question. Say exactly what you said to us before the show.
I said, is it responsible to even talk about adding Micah Parsons to this roster?
If you're only going to win so many games with this team as they are, how can I talk about bringing Micah Parsons here and saying that he's going to be happy? I only talk about it because it's our job to talk about it. The same thing with Terry McLaurin. Do I really think they're going to trade for Terry McLaurin? Nope. Can I advocate to trade for a going on 30-year-old wide receiver for this football team? No. No.
Well, especially one that you'd have to give up not only the trade assets, but you'd have to pay. You know, with Amari,
exactly.
When you took on Amari Cooper, what did you give up for him?
Give up a fifth-round pick and you paid him. You gave up a fifth and you paid him.
That was also a team looking to move their receiver.
Yes.
Washington is not looking
to
move.
Yeah, they don't want to move on from Terry McLaurin. So, and I don't think that, honestly, I don't think the Cowboys want to move on from Micah Parsons. So if you had an opportunity to trade for him, yeah, I'd be interested in such a thing, but am I really in a position as a former 3-win football team, maybe a 5-win football team this year, to where a lot of people are picking him to be? Is it really responsible of us to talk about him, or is it just another, like, hey, it's another big name. Do you want him? Do you want him? Do you want him? Do you play the clips? Like, yeah, Micah Parsons is always going to be a conversation to some level, but I just don't think I'm in the position to trade for anybody right now. I'm kind of in the position to keep my assets and see how this season goes. Like, when Martin Emerson went down, hey, maybe we could work a trade out for one of these other corners. I think you're bringing in guys off the scrap heap. I think you might be bringing in free agent veterans who still might be looking around somewhere. I think you're probably paying attention to the cut wire after the training camp is over. That's where I think you're going with your cornerbacks. I don't think you're making any trades right now. You got those two first-round picks. I don't think you're trading first-round picks for a replacement for Martin Emerson, for crying out loud. That's not what I'm pointing out. But you're building up this draft capital. The question does become, what players play well that make me trust Andrew Berry between now and next draft, which is going to be a very tough thing to do. Let's be serious. And two, what do I need to put this team around the right quality quarterback to get us going on the right direction again? Because we can't be going circling this toilet for too very long. We can't do this.
Yeah,
you have two first-round picks. You have to hit on them beginning next year, and somebody has to emerge.
But it's so funny. You just planning that thought into my head, it's like, all right, there are a bunch of us who don't think Andrew Berry is long for, you know, this job, given that we expect him to be pretty bad this year.
I'm not so sure of that. Well, I thought he wouldn't be long for the job last year.
Well, what I'm saying is, then if you are on the fence about Andrew Berry or whatever, the last thing you want is to deplete the assets of the team, of the future, for whoever the next guy is to run the organization. That's the last thing you'd want, because not only that, you'd be bad, but then you'd be going through that transition anyway, and now you don't have the draft picks for the new GM to work with. Mm-hmm. That would be worst case scenario.